You a Michael? Are you a little Mikey?
Seriously, Mom and Dad? I'd really appreciate you making up your minds. I'm gonna be graduating soon.
Some things can only be put off for so long. Tax season ends April 18th. Hurry down to H&R Block and we'll help you claim your maximum refund. And if you're not quite ready, we can still help with filing an extension for free. Call 1-800-HR-BLOCK. An extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay taxes due. Offer expires 4-18-11 at participating locations.
Park Center score!
KLAA Orange, Los Angeles. AM 830. Your home for Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Can you find anything on the internet? Well, I'm sure you can, but don't take my word for it. Just ask this talking dog who can only say, I love you. Roll the clip. One more time, talking dog.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This eczema is driving me crazy. All I do is... No matter what I use on this dry, itchy red skin, I can't stop...
Introducing the first eczema lotion from Cortisone 10. It contains the strongest non-prescription itch medicine to relieve the... Plus 7 moisturizers to help heal severe dry skin. Once you start using it, you'll stop the... for good.
Ah, that's better.
New Cortisone 10 Eczema Lotion. Feel the heal.
Who should you look for to help you manage all the various facets of your business and gain inspiration at the same time? Insperity is a trusted advisor to America's best businesses for more than 25 years, providing an array of human resources and business solutions that are designed to help improve business performance. Insperity Business Performance Advisors offers the most comprehensive workforce organization solutions in the marketplace. They deliver administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve worker productivity. Additional offerings include mid-market solutions, performance management, organizational planning, recruiting services, and the like, all of which are designed to make your business run better. Insperity has 2010 revenues exceeding $1.7 billion. It operates in 57 locations throughout the U.S. and serves over 100,000 businesses with more than 2 million employees. If you're looking for inspiration in managing your workforce, turn to Insperity, a trusted advisor. For more information, go to Insperity.com.
The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed are those of the program sponsors and not necessarily the views of AM 830, its owners, or management.
Good evening, everyone, on a beautiful Sunday night. Angels play today, and they won 3-1. Awesome. Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. You are listening to Octagon Unleashed live right here, broadcasting out of the big Metrodome of Angel Stadium.
What is a Metrodome?
I don't know. It just came
out of my mouth. What's
wrong with you? Here's your host, Robert Rees, along with my co-host, who just chimed in out of nowhere, Mr. Jeremy Lee. What's up, buddy?
Not much, man. Just hanging out here. Looking forward to another great show. Those fights last night were a blast, man.
Awesome fights last night. I was there. It was insane. Just the crowd, the fights, just I can't even explain what it was like last night. It was just cool. If you haven't been to a Strikeforce event, you have to go to one.
Well, I was a little bit sad that I wasn't there once I watched the fights this morning. However, while you were watching the fights, I was enjoying a great time with a bunch of gnarly, crazy people at a giant punk rock festival in Irvine called the Punk Rock Picnic.
Yeah, how was that, man? And how long did that actually last?
It started at 11 o'clock in the morning and ended at 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
There was something like 50 bands. Bands that haven't played in years played at All Access. It was awesome.
Was there a lot of booths and stuff that you could buy stuff? And I mean, what was the atmosphere like?
Take the gnarliest people you can think of and put them all together and give them a bunch of alcohol and drugs.
Wow!
And then put the cops in there.
Well, that's a party.
And that's the environment.
That sounds like Dodger Stadium.
It was probably worse. I saw a few fights. Most of the fights I saw, though, were crazy drunk girls trying to beat up on guys.
Wow. What's up with girls these days? You know, they're probably watching MMA and they just see, hey, man, I could do it.
One of my good friends who actually trains in Muay Thai and jiu-jitsu, I was standing in front stage and I saw her in the backstage throw a Muay Thai clinch on some guy and try and knee him in the face. And the security guards rushed her and took her out.
That was one of your friends?
Yeah. She's trained by Debbie Purcell.
Oh, really?
And Debbie Purcell is actually out with an injury right now. I guess they're going to do some crazy surgery where they take one ligament and replace another one with that ligament. It's like her ACL is completely gone or something like that.
What?
Yeah, and so she's not doing any training right now and just awaiting that surgery, but she's the one that trained my friend who last night got kicked out. And then about 5 minutes later, a guy standing two people away from me got maced. So that was fun.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be around the mace when it starts to fly, because if it gets on you anywhere, it's just too much.
It was a good time.
That's awesome, man. Well, it sounds like you did have a good time. I, on the other hand, had an awesome time as well. The Strikeforce event in San Diego took place. We got there probably about 5:30, so we got into about the third or fourth. Actually, we missed two preliminary fights. We watched the rest. It was about five or six total. And, I'm gonna have to say that it wasn't a sellout. There wasn't the upper concourse area was pretty much empty. Give or take the two sides that were facing the octagon. But I don't know. I was just looking at it and I was thinking, could this be what is going to probably end Strikeforce and have to, join these two companies together? Join these two together because the tickets can't sell out. But then again, you're thinking about San Diego and not too many people wanted to drive down to San Diego to watch this event.
Well, one thing I did notice that was interesting to me was that UFC had a banner on the Strikeforce mat advertising the Shields and GSP fight coming up.
They were selling UFC shirts there as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they were selling UFC shirts. Dana White was there, and he was Twittering that, that he enjoyed actually being able to just, you know, fly in and watch a fight without actually working. But, of course, you know he was working. You know, he was studying his fighters.
I heard he was wearing a Strikeforce shirt.
He was wearing a Strikeforce shirt. Yes, he was.
That's funny. I wish I had a snapshot of his Twitter when it said well, Strike Farce and what's a coker and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, all that stuff is going to come into play, you know, when they're battling against each other. Strikeforce obviously was trying to compete with UFC, you know, and you know, naturally they're going to have those type of, you know, conflicts. You know what I mean? They're going to make fun of each other, going to do that sort of thing. But now that Zuffa purchased Strikeforce, you know, he's got to look at it in a different light because he is president of UFC, you know.
Absolutely.
So. Hey, but, you know, overall, the fans were awesome. There was a few fights in the crowd. We didn't see that over in San Jose, but, of course, you know, we're in San Diego. But, you know, there was a few fights.
You might as well be at Dodger Stadium.
There you go. We might as well be in Dodger Stadium. But for the most part, it was a great crowd, awesome fights. Just starting off from when the Showtime fight started with Beer Bomb and Aoki, I mean, it just seemed like it just went in a blur.
How about that neck crank, man?
That was insane. insane. I was telling a guy sitting next to me, you know, he was like, I don't understand how he choked him out with that. And I said, well, just picture, just take your neck and you know, take your chin and try to push it all the way behind your shoulder.
Yeah, it's not that he got choked out. It's just that his whole body was twisted up like a Twizzler or something. That hurts. That hurts really bad. I feel bad for Beer Bum because I really like him, and I was rooting for that guy. He's had a long struggle, and for him to be living his dream is pretty cool, and I hope that he makes a comeback.
Well, we do have Tito in studio. He was able to actually get out of the home today, but I tried to actually take him with me to the event, but unfortunately Tito did something that he got in trouble, and they wouldn't let him go. I tried to plead with them to allow him to come with me. I promised that I wouldn't get him intoxicated. I promised that I would, you know, show him a good time, but I don't know what he did to not be able to go. And Tito, I don't know if you could tell me, what did you do? Are you able to talk about it?
Yeah, I could talk about it a little bit.
Okay, well, why don't we get into Tito's segment here real quick, and we'll get into Tito's Danger Zone, find out what Tito has for us this evening.
It's time for the Danger Zone with Tito Tompkins.
Let's get ready to rumble! Hello, everyone. It's your favorite MMA scout here to give a special review of last night's fight with all of the punches and kicks. Now, let's find out who gets taken to the Danger Zone.
All right. Thank you for playing my intro, Robert. I really appreciate that.
Hey, we can show you nothing but love right here.
That's
at Octagon Elite,
cool.
Tito.
That's cool.
Tito.
Yes.
I want to know what you did, buddy.
You want to hear why I couldn't, they wouldn't let me leave with Robert?
Yeah, because
why did they punish you?
She was pretty upset.
I know. The lady that runs the home was upset because, well, as you guys know, I live in a home with several other guys that are, you know, similar to me. Every night on Thursday, we have hamburger night, and on hamburger night, you know, I have a special deal with them because they know that I have a big appetite.
I'm afraid where this is going.
Well, I'm normally allowed to have two hamburgers, but the guy that we have a new cook, and he would only give me one hamburger, and I tried to explain to him that we have, you know, there's certain rules that are in place concerning my living at the home, and I was supposed to get two hamburgers on. Everyone knows Tito gets two hamburgers on Hamburger Thursday, and he wouldn't give it to me, so I broke his nose.
Whoa.
So you took him to the Danger Zone.
Yeah, and because of that, they are now trying to suspend me from watching any MMA fights for a month because I took the new guy to the Danger Zone. And I felt really bad about doing it because the fact of the matter is that this guy's a new employee at my home, and he didn't know any better, really. But he wouldn't give me my hamburger.
Well, Tito, you got to understand something. You're not a trained fighter, and you shouldn't be doing that stuff.
Well, yeah, but
not only that, Tito, but you have that special strength that most people don't have.
I know. I mean, my hands realistically are weapons because I've watched so much fighting that I know how to use them. I'm like a boxer, you know?
So what did we learn, Tito? What was the lesson that we learned from this whole experience that you did on Thursday? What was the lesson you learned?
Okay, well, you guys know me. I mean, realistically speaking, I'm a pretty peaceful guy. And I tried to talk to this guy, and I said, listen, I know everybody else gets one hamburger on Thursday night, but I have a deal, and I tried to you know, work with him. I tried to explain my situation, but the guy dropped an F-bomb. I'm not going to repeat it because I'm on the air. Dropped the F-bomb, and he got a little attitude with me, so I bum-rushed him, and I punched him in the nose, and I felt bad about it afterwards, and now I really feel bad about it because they tried this. I'm actually not even supposed to be here right now. I sneaked out.
I know.
I sneaked out to the back to come do the show with you guys. I'm not even supposed to be here right now. They don't know that I'm gone. When they do bed check, actually, no, tonight's bingo, so there's no bed check tonight. But I'm not going to be there, so I'm going to be in big trouble. But it's worth it to be here, and I'll tell you guys what. You guys can't keep me from watching MMA. I'm going to keep watching the Strike Force, and I'm going to keep watching the UFC. I don't don't care.
But Tito, you got to understand that if you continue to act like this, I can't take you to events, Tito.
I know, and I'm on probation. And it's going to be a while that, you know, until I'm really going to be in trouble now if someone realizes that I'm not there.
You've got to stay out of the danger zone, Tito.
Tito, I know, no danger zone.
I will promise to not beat anyone else up in the next month so that I can probably go to the next fight.
All right. Well, okay. You want to get into the danger zone real quick, Tito?
Yeah. In the meantime, you know, enough about my personal life. Let's hear about what people really want to hear about, the fights that happened last night. Now, as we all know, I'm incredibly impatient. So let's talk about the big fight first. Nick Diaz versus Paul Daly. Now, gentlemen, I was rooting for Diaz from the beginning. First, because I always root for the American fighter if it's between an American and a foreign fighter. Do you know why, Robert?
No, why, Tito?
We've been
through
this before.
Proud to be an American.
That's right. And because these colors don't run, brother. But another more important reason why I was pulling for Diaz is because he started martial arts because he was bullied by other kids when he was growing up. And now this is a truly triumphant story that Disney should make into a movie of a kid who defeated his bullies and grew up to be an awesome fighter. Now, as soon as these two welterweights came out, Diaz was talking mad smack from the get-go. Obviously, if he had lost, it would be a different story, but Diaz came out quick with a serious attack and unloaded a barrage of punches, but with just over a minute left, Daly got Diaz with a big left hook, but Diaz and his iron chin stuck in there and recovered from the ground and got back on his feet, backed Daly up, changed clips in the man guns and unloaded on Daly's face.
The man guns, eh?
Which stunned the Englishman and put him on his back. And then Diaz threw more punches until Big John McCarthy finally had to jump in and gently whisper into Daly's ear, "Look up there. Is it a bird? Is it a plane?" "No, it's the danger zone, and you, Mr. Daly, are in it."
Do you think, Tito?
Yes.
You think that that Big John actually might have stepped in there a little bit early and told him he was in the danger zone?
You know, I thought about that for a second, but realistically, at the rate that Diaz was going, he could have done a lot of damage in a very small amount of time.
But there was 3 seconds, though. 3 seconds before
yeah,
the round was over.
But you know what? I'm glad. I don't, you know, but when you're watching these things, you don't realize how many seconds are left. I mean, he had to stop that.
Or when you're getting your face pounded in.
He had to stop that fight. Because I'll tell you what, if he did it, it wouldn't have mattered. Diaz would have come out in round two and pounded that dude to the ground and would have won anyways. That's my personal opinion.
Do you think that Big John McCarthy called an end to the fight early because Paul Syntex Daly is not an American?
No, I don't think that it had anything to do with it. I mean, you know what? He had some good punches, some good kicks in there. I was scared for a second for Diaz. Do you know, there was a second there where I thought Daly might actually pull it off.
I was pretty nervous, too.
Yeah, but
it got close.
But when he fell on that ground, he was dazed. And I thought, you know, it looked to me for a second like maybe he tripped. But then when I really paid attention, it was like, no, man, he snuck in a good punch in the face, and he was dazed. He didn't trip. He just fell because he was
dazed.
Well,
there's a few punches.
Yeah.
It started, I think, with a hook, and then he got him with an uppercut, and then he started nailing him again before he fell down.
Yeah.
And I think what really got him was that uppercut.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, come on, Jeremy. You know Diaz is a great fighter. I think he would have won it even if it went into the second round, even if there wasn't 3 seconds left. So in the long run, I think Big John did Daly a favor because, I mean, he could have been wound in the hospital.
Okay, Tito, we're going to take a second. We'll come back with Tito's Danger Zone. We're going to take a break real quick here. You're listening to Octagon Unleashed on Angels Radio, AM 830, KLAA. If you want to chime in, talk to Tito even. Give us a call, 1-877-8-830-830. That's 1-877-8-830-830. Give us a call. Talk to us. Let us know if you were there last night at the Strikeforce event. We want to know how good of a time you had. You're listening to Octagon Unleashed right here on Angels Radio, AM 830, KLAA.
Angels baseball lives here. Angels Radio,
AM 830.
There's big news for millions of allergy sufferers. Prescription-strength Allegra is now available without a prescription, which means you can get the same exact medicine, same full prescription strength, in the aisle. And it delivers fast, non-sedating, 24-hour relief for your toughest allergy symptoms. So this allergy season, when you need prescription-strength relief, you don't have to go to the pharmacist. You can go straight to the shelf. Allegra. Prescription-strength allergy relief, now available without a prescription.
Starts working in 1 hour. Relieves sneezing, runny, itchy, watery eyes, and itchy nose or throat. Uses directly.
AutoZone. Putting off a brake job can have a huge impact on your car's safety. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Your braking system is one of your car's most important safety features. So head to AutoZone for everything you need to do a complete brake job. It's the only place to find quality Duralast pads, rotors, and components, and the right place to get advice on doing the job yourself. Don't take chances with your safety. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Soils. Keep them simple. Keep them natural. That's what Whitney Farms organic potting soils do, because that's what plants like. Plants may not have brains, but they know exactly what to do with a rich, premium blend of peat moss, compost, and natural fertilizer. Grow to become beautiful flowers, herbs, and vegetables. They're happy, you're happy. Simple as that. Buy Whitney Farms organic potting soils today at your independent garden center and hardware store.
My dad's Mercedes Z-Class has 26,000 miles on it, but I'm taking it to a billion zillion.
Of all the things you hand down to your children, very few will be of the quality of a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Come in during our certified pre-owned sales event and get the Mercedes-Benz you've always wanted. Now, with an optional factory-backed extended limited warranty, your vehicle may be covered for up to 7 years or 135,000 miles, plus roadside assistance and 3 months of Sirius satellite radio. Every certified pre-owned vehicle undergoes rigorous inspections by factory-trained technicians to meet the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And right now, get exceptional 1.99% financing on select models.
Thanks in advance, Dad.
Hurry into the Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned sales event now through May 2nd. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned.
See dealer or call 1-800-FOR-MERCEDES for complete program including certified pre-owned limited warranty and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations. Not all customers will qualify for advertised APR and are subject to prior credit approval.
AM 830 is Angels Radio.
This is Shane Del Rosario. You're listening to Octagon Unleashed on AM 830.
All right, welcome back. Speaking of Shane Del Rosario, we got him coming in live in the studio next Sunday. He's going to discuss the fight that they actually set for him June 18th against Cormier, which I think is going to be a very big one for him.
Oh, yeah, he's going to take that dude out.
Yeah, man, Shane Del Rosario is looking good. He's 10-0, 11-0 actually now. And, man, he's just making his way up that heavyweight rank right there. He's definitely going to do some damage this year, and we're looking forward to having him in studio.
Awesome.
I think we're also going to have a couple of judges from Camo in.
Oh, that's next weekend. Yeah, you're right. We have that set up as well. So next weekend is definitely going to be a set show. You guys got to tune in. But for now, let's get back with Tito's Danger Zone.
All right. So you guys, the next big fight to discuss of the evening. Gilbert Melendez, Mr. Mrs. Coward, excuse me, Mr. Kawajiri.
Yeah, well, he did definitely make Kawajiri his missus.
That was a little slip of the tongue. But okay, guys, I had a feeling that good old Gilbert was going to win this one. But I was a little more confident in Mr. Kawajiri. At least I thought, since their last fight, he would last more than one round. But this turned into another short smackdown. Melendez came out of the gates like an angry, rabid, 155-pound dog and dropped Tatsuya with a stiff right hand in the first minute. Then Gilbert landed one punch after another and kept Kawajiri on his heels. Finally, Tatsuya goes for the takedown, but Melendez says, uh-uh, and he pushed Kawajiri back and then finished the bout by slamming one elbow after another until the fight was finally stopped.
Mr. Kawajiri, you have brought a great dishonor to your family. You have awakened to the Danger Zone.
By the way, there was a group that were down there holding up Japan signs down over there in his corner. It was pretty awesome to see. You know, I mean, he had a following there. You know, but unfortunately, we knew Melendez was just going to eat him live. You know,
Melendez was throwing the gnarliest elbows ever.
Sick.
It was unreal. I couldn't believe it when I watched him today. I was in shock, and I got to say that this set of fights were probably the best fights I've seen in a while. And it's usually the Strike Force fights. They pull these cards out of there somewhere and put them together, and you watch them, and you're just watching them, and you're just in shock at how awesome these fights are.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little disappointed with the first one, and I kind of called it. I knew that if Beerbohm was going to go down to the ground, that it was going to be over for him. But you're right. There is a ton of great fighters in the Strikeforce organization that will take a fight in week's notice and go in there and pull out a great Jardine. I'm sure you're going to get into that one, right, Tito?
Oh, you know it.
Keith Jardine took this fight in a little over a week's notice, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not a big Jardine fan. I am and I'm not, but you know what? As an older veteran of the sport, he just showed his heart, man. He went in there and he fought for three solid rounds.
True.
We've got a bleeder.
All right, Tito, go ahead with your next fight.
In Japan, if you bring dishonor to your family, you must kill yourself.
Okay, enough joking around. So, the 28-year-old Gilbert Melendez wins his 10th straight fight, and then he talked about fighting a unification bout with UFC fighter Frankie Edgar.
So awesome.
Let's see if that happens. Okay, guys, last fight was exciting, but not so much because of the fight itself, but because of the results. And I'm talking about Musasi versus Jardine. Truth is, an illegal upkick by lightweight heavyweight champion Musasi most likely cost him the fight. Musasi did get a nasty cut on his eye, but Musasi did get in some good overhand right punches and left jabs. Musasi seemed to dominate in the second and third rounds, and there was even a point in the third with 3:43 left when Musasi got a takedown and almost ended it with a guillotine, but Jardine escaped. Now, according to CompuStrike, Musasi landed 124 punches to Jardine's 45. But I guess in the end, the penalty kept two of the judges to vote for a draw. And one judge, Louis Cobian, ruled in favor for Musasi. Both men managed to evade the danger zone.
Well, you pay really close attention to who judges these fights, don't you?
Oh, I was reading about this all day long.
Right.
Because in my mind, if I had been there, I gotta say, I would have voted for Musasi to win.
Right.
By decision.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you that that point that was taken away wasn't taken away right away.
I know.
The judge was actually gonna let them continue to fight, but Keith stood back. And then he took a second and looked at him, and then they talked or something, and all of a sudden, he was taking Musasi into the middle of the ring and taking a point away.
How about that ref's beard?
Gnarly, right? Actually, we were saying that Keith Jardine, my friend Jeremy, who's on the phone actually holding on. Hold on, Jeremy. We'll be getting to you in a minute. But we were talking about how him and Jardine, the ref and Jardine, actually look like brothers.
Yeah, they probably belong to the same motorcycle gang.
Let's take a break real quick. We're going to take a break. We got Kenny Johnson, one of the trainers for Paul Daly. He's on the phone right now, holding on tight. We want to talk to him a little bit about last night's fights. We got Tito in the studio. Jeremy's across in an unknown location. You're listening to Octagon Unleashed on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. Give us a call, 1-877-8-830-830. That's 1-877-8-830-830. Let us know how you feel. We'll be back in a minute.
Angels baseball lives here. Angels Radio.
AM 830.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing.
It's not real smoke, just water vapor. Crazy.
I can finally relax without sucking in all those chemicals and tar.
No secondhand smoke.
Quit thinking about it. Make the switch to American Blue Tip right now. It's everything you love about smoking without the tar, tobacco, and carcinogens. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call now for your risk-free trial of American Blue Tip. Call 1-800-507-4432. That's 1-800-507-4432. Quit stalling and switch right now. Call 1-800-507-4432. That's 1-800-507-4432.
Who should you look for to help you manage all the various facets of your business and gain inspiration at the same time? Insperity is a trusted advisor to America's best businesses for more than 25 years, providing an array of human resources and business solutions that are designed to help improve business performance. Insperity Business Performance Advisors offers the most comprehensive workforce organization solutions in the marketplace. They deliver administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve worker productivity. Additional offerings include mid-market solutions, performance management, organizational planning, recruiting services, and the like, all of which are designed to make your business run better. Insperity has 2010 revenues exceeding $1.7 billion. It operates in 57 locations throughout the U.S. and serves over 100,000 businesses with more than 2 million employees. If you're looking for inspiration in managing your workforce, turn to Insperity, a trusted advisor. For more information, go to Insperity.com.
AM 830 is Angels Radio.
This is Derek Stefanin, and you're listening to Octagon Unleashed.
Welcome back to Octagon Unleashed on Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA. Man, a half hour has already gone by so fast, and we could talk for the full hour about Strikeforce event last night just because of how awesome it was and how much fun everybody we had. Jeremy, why don't we get Kenny Johnson on the phone and talk to him for a little bit.
Let's do it.
Kenny, are you there?
Hey, I'm here, brother.
How you doing,
Kenny?
Hey, how's everybody doing? Hey, sorry, Robert, I couldn't get together with you last night at the show, but apparently, as the cornman, we don't have bands to go into the arena and out at will.
So, oh, it's okay, man. I was going to give you a call after the fight and see what you guys are doing afterwards, but I was just so burnt and tired out that I just went straight home and fell asleep, man.
Hey, you know what? It wasn't a real celebratory situation. Well, I actually drove home myself and saw my girl and my daughter.
Oh, nice. Did you get done watching your movie tonight?
Just got done with the movie. It was started off well, but the ending was disappointing. I'm upset about it.
What movie was
like
that?
Last night. Hannah.
Oh, I want to see that. That looks cool. It's not good?
It was started off good and it ended bad.
Okay, I won't go see that one.
Well, let's get into last night. There was a lot of hype about the fight with these two guys fighting. And I mean, Daly, you know, he just got done fighting not too long ago, and he took this title fight to come in. You know, he apparently a lot of people are saying he's got a lot of points to prove, especially to Dana White, because, you know, Dana White has criticized him so much. You know, what do you think going into that fight? What was his mindset? What was the actual mindset going in? What was his game supposed to be going into that fight?
You know, I think the plan was to go in and take the belt, go back to England was his plan. But the actual game plan was to, you know, Nick's a great fighter and he's tough in all areas, on the feet, takedowns, jiu-jitsu. But one thing Paul wanted to do was not rush it. He wanted to keep, you know, manage the distance properly and not get drawn into Nick's game. And, you know, that's exactly what he did. You know, he got a little impatient and closed the distance wrong, didn't use his kicks like he wanted to, and it was on the receiving end of some things. And I think the fight was great. They both got some, you know, some great punches in, some knockdowns, and you know, I think the fight got stopped a little bit early, to tell you the truth. But I
agree with you.
Nick took some punishment and recovered, which is unbelievable. I can't believe he came back from that second knockdown, and he did. I think that, but the one thing that Paul and I talked about after is that everything went very well, the game plan, and he wanted to stay in tight, didn't want to get drawn into a firefight, which they did, got into a slugfest, which is good for the fans, but wasn't good for him ultimately. And I think that he wanted to have a little bit more composure and a little bit more patience with the strikes and maybe beat him down with the leg kicks more instead of just getting into a slugfest with him.
Is that just because knowing Diaz's stand-up quality and how good of a boxer he is?
You know, it definitely he on the feet. You know, he's got power and he's precise, and he's longer than Paul. So he wanted to stay in. And Nick gets you to come after him, and that's when he does his damage. So Paul didn't want to be, chasing him down. And right. Ultimately what he did was just, right away both guys are both punches and they want the knockout. So he closed the distance not how he wanted to.
So it seemed like Nick was really getting into Paul's head last night. Was that the case?
I think that, I think that... back in the early days when there was bad blood, I feel there was bad blood. Nowadays, I think the bad blood is kind of
all
contrived. It's very contrived. I know that Nick wasn't in Paul's head. I don't know from Nick's side if Paul was in his head, but from our side of it, it was business as usual, and it was a fight. It doesn't matter who was over there. And regardless of what was said, the attitudes, the camps back and forth, there was nothing that was in Paul's head. He did everything to the T that he trained and wanted to do. The one thing he didn't do, which was up to him, was to manage the space properly and not get drawn into kind of like a firefight, so to speak, into a slugfest. And it's the only thing after the fight, he was like, man, I knew better, I knew better, I knew better. And but that's how it goes sometimes.
Well, I sat on the edge of my seat. I'm a big Diaz fan. I sat on my edge of my seat, and I was like, there was that one time, like you said, you were surprised that Diaz recovered, that I thought the fight was done. I thought Daly was just going to finish him and put him over. At one point, I was like, is John going to jump in there and stop it? I'm not going to say that he favored Diaz or that it was a fixed fight or whatnot. We can't say that. But do you think maybe he gave Diaz just a few more seconds to recover versus what something he could have done to let that 3 seconds go in the round end with Daly?
I think that I actually thought the fight was going to be over too, and when that second knockdown, not because of any type of long or short stoppage. I just thought, I was like, man, he just took a big punch. He was laying flat. He was really close. I was looking Nick directly in the eyes, and it just looked like he was done, and he recovered. At the same time, Paul, what he was thinking, afterwards we talked about it again, he felt that he was hitting Nick, and John wasn't in his other party. He was looking to see if John MacArthur was going to come over and stop it. He didn't see John coming over looking like it was going to be a stoppage, and he didn't want to punch himself out. So he had already punched himself out, or not punched, but went for the kill the first knockdown. They exchanged more, was getting tired, then went for the kill the second one. Noticed John wasn't moving in to look like there was going to call, so that's when he saw Paul kind of back off and stood him back up.
Right.
And I think that situation, if he would have stayed on him and maybe, machine gun him with a few more punches, it's possible there could have been a stoppage. I don't think that I think there should have been no stoppage at all on either side. I don't think anyone was close. I definitely think with 3 seconds to go in the round, you got two hard-nosed guys. Paul wasn't taking damage just repeatedly with no guard up. I think that everyone knew there was 10 seconds left. He actually went down with 10 or 9 seconds left. He 3 more seconds, I believe they could have let that one go to break and then come back and let the fighters decide to fight. That was my feeling on it.
Kenny, I wasn't there last time. I watched the fights this morning. I have recorded them. I was at a concert. But I noticed that after the fight, there was a spot where the camera was on Paul, and Diaz pushed the camera out of the way.
And pointed it towards Daly on the ground?
No, he pointed it somewhere else so you couldn't see what he was doing. And then I watched an interview with Diaz today, and he's talking about Strikeforce maybe suspending him. Can you enlighten us on what happened after the fight that the cameras didn't show on TV?
I didn't think, you know what? I thought I thought when I was standing at the cage waiting to go into the cage after, it just had looked to me that Nick had turned the camera around and pointed it towards Paul when he was sitting on the chair. That's all I saw.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was too.
I didn't see anything else because I mean I was standing right there and it looked like one camera was on Paul and the other camera that came in was following Nick around. But then when Nick stood up and had his hands up, you know, in victory, he saw the cameras on him and it looked my opinion was I thought he had grabbed the camera because he wanted everyone to see Paul, you know, defeated. And I thought that was great, you know. So I don't know if there was anything else that happened that I didn't see or that was, you know, that was behind the scenes. I don't know. I just thought that he was in the moment of I just won. I just got the stoppage. It was a huge fight for both guys. He saw the camera on him, and I think that he probably wanted the camera on Paul just to say, look at, you know, just add insult to injury, just be, you know, no one like
right. Look what I just did.
Look what I just did. That's all I saw. I didn't hear anything else about it. I don't know why. If he gets suspended for redirecting the camera, but I don't know that there was anything else behind it. Me personally, I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought it was. You know, as soon as the fight was over, the cameras were on Diaz, and then he grabbed the camera and he turned around and he pointed it towards Daly. It was more like, why you got the cameras on me? Look at him. He's the one on the ground. That's
right,
the way
that's what
I took
thought
it.
Too. I mean, I didn't want to see that happen, but I understood why.
Of course,
that seemed part of the whole like what you would do. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Jeremy, did you hear what was he saying they were going to suspend him for? Was there anything else behind it?
No, he was talking to Ariel Sawani from AOL, and he didn't elaborate on what he may be getting suspended for, but he was talking about it, and I think. The first thing that came out of his mouth was that he needed to get paid, and that was after the fight. And so maybe they're coming after him for something in regards to that. He wouldn't talk about it. And Ariel kept trying to push him and get it out of him, but he wouldn't elaborate. It seemed like he was really trying to get out of the interview, to be honest with you.
Wow. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, and like I didn't see anything after. You know, Paul didn't do an interview after. He came out, walked out of the cage, and went out. So I didn't see anything after that. I didn't hear the interview, and I didn't see Diaz or anything after going to the locker room or anything because we got checked out by the doctors and then were in our locker room. So I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything that was amiss. I mean, if they were, I don't know if there's anything that happened besides him. And all he did was just take his hands and turn the camera around. It didn't look bad at all. It just seemed pretty normal.
I just thought it was typical Nick Diaz fashion. You know, hey, I just won. Look at why are you looking at me? Look at the guy. You know,
yeah,
on the ground.
Just beat. Look at my handiwork.
Yeah,
I just,
you know what I mean?
The guy. Let's check him out. Forget me. Let's let everyone
right.
see what I did after
right.
this whole fight. I thought that was, you know, as much as I don't want to see it happen to my guy, I thought that was pretty good. Actually, you know, it was good TV.
Right.
And, you know, most people on the TV wouldn't have seen that. It was more for the live audience, I think, but, you know, I thought it was, you know, I didn't think anything was wrong with it, but I don't know if there was anything else that happened before that, so I can't speak to that.
Okay, Kenny, so now Paul is going back home. He's going to have some time to, you know, sit down and think about things and grasp himself together. What is in store for him next? What is he looking to do next?
I think, you know what, he had about 7 fights in the last, you know, year and a half to 2 years. You know, he had a pretty busy schedule and he fought some good guys. I think the next thing for him, you know, we talked, he's going to go home. I think he's going to, you know, do some work around his house and remodel some of the stuff around his house. I think he's going to take a vacation, come back and start training, and not in a training camp, but just start, you know, start working on the basics and start working on some of the things that, you know, the mental things that went wrong in this fight, and then just so we don't get too far out of shape, and keep chipping away at day by day, and then when he finds out who's fighting next, determine how long the camp's going to be and go from there. But just not be out of the loop. He wants to go home, take a little bit of time to relax. Physically, he's fine, so he doesn't have to rest any injuries. You know, probably just a little bit of bad feelings as far as losing, but that's obviously the easiest to get over.
Sounds good. And do you think that him and Dana will ever reconcile their differences?
You know, I mean, I think that, you know, Paul's pretty outspoken. I think there's a lot of people that are outspoken. Dana's outspoken.
Yeah.
I think that fighters in general are outspoken because you got to speak to your hand. You know, I think that Paul may have taken some things a little far, but not too far. And I think that he respects Dana, and I know he likes Dana, and I know that he likes Strikeforce and UFC. And I think that I don't think there's anything to prepare unless that either one of them want to sit down face-to-face and just say, hey, we're on board with each other. I don't know, but I just think that from Paul's side of view, I don't think there's any bad blood from his side. I think he's just outspoken and has that kind of a, you know, I guess exactly the way they market him and exactly the way they market Diaz, exactly the way they marketed Tito, the bad boy type of attitude, you know?
Right.
Right, right.
But Steve, it sells magazines, it sells tickets, it sells pay-per-views, and you know what? And then when sometimes when it comes in that attitude flares up more and outside of the cage, and then it might hurt people's feelings, and then you get actually what reality is. And I think that, you know, Paul's not really someone, just like Diaz, is not someone that's just there for the cameras. You know, their attitude, kind of what you see is what you get. Sometimes maybe they speak out, well, not they, I'll speak for maybe they speak out when they shouldn't speak.
You're not in the sport to have feelings, first of all.
Right. That's why I say about, like, when the things are contrived, when people you hear right on, when they're in the middle of the ring, and, you know, all the trash talking that happened for months, and people are like, oh my God, these guys hate each other in the middle of the ring, you know, and people actually get vested in the fighter and in the trash talking and in the interviews and the press, and then at the end the fighter just goes, oh, I did all that just to sell tickets. It's almost like, oh, haha, I just duped you, you know. Man, go out there and trash talk if you want. If you don't want to trash talk, then don't, because I don't think people aren't as stupid as the people think, you know. And we're talking about some fighters with 10 or 15 fights and you know, talking all kinds of trash, getting people invested in them or their opponent, and then after the fight's over, say, hey, guys, don't fool them. We were just talking to sell the fight.
That's exactly what you
deal with people that don't do that. Like, I don't think a Diaz is a guy to do it. Paul's not a guy to do it. I think when you get that, there's legitimate feelings involved, and so you get some, you know, emotions fly, just like when with Paul and Koscheck. He wasn't talking trash for to sell fights. He was talking because that's what he felt. I know that he was a little unsportsmanlike at the end and took the swing, but, you know, I think that that's what happens. In other sports, when tempers fly, they get in fights, and it's all good. Everyone fights, and someone's suspended. But I guess, you know, we want to hold fighters to a different standard because it's kind of a martial art, and there's a respect factor involved. Other sports don't have that respect factor.
Right. So, Kenny, one last question before I let you go. And it's kind of a technical question, considering that you are a specialist in wrestling and you have your own, you train all of these guys. When I wrestled in high school, there was a certain technique that you did, and I can't remember what it's called. It was a technique that you did when you shot in to go for a takedown, whether it was a single leg or a double leg, it didn't matter. You kind of went down to a knee, dragged your back leg, and came back up, so you were on your knees when you went for that takedown. Now, I know that when you're on your knees, you have a lot more strength and you're not using your back, but what I'm noticing is a lot of these fighters are actually coming in for the takedown, and it's like they're bending over to grab these guys' legs and they're trying to lift these guys with their backs. Do you think that that's something to do with their lack of experience in wrestling, or do you think that it's just something that's happening in the heat of the moment?
Well, I would say that I would say 99% of all the fighters have garbage wrestling. And, you know, that's not to their fault. Wrestling's hard, and it's a sport. If you didn't do in high school or college, it's difficult to pick up. And there's a jiu-jitsu gym on every corner, a boxing gym in every corner, Muay Thai in every corner, kung fu, karate. There's about a handful of wrestling schools in the whole United States that are actually wrestling schools. There might be some people that wrestle at a place, but they're not wrestlers. And what happens is, it's like this. When a wrestler goes in or anyone else goes in to learn jiu-jitsu, you start learning it from the ground up. When a fighter wants to learn wrestling, they bring in a wrestler and they learn a double leg and they think they're a wrestler now.
Right.
You know, that's the fact of the matter. And that's why, you know, part of what we talked about before, I created the Bolt Wrestling System to have a belt system for wrestling, because what happens is people come in, they'll bring me in for a week, I show them a couple things, and they feel like they got wrestling. Or the announcers in whatever league are saying, oh my God, this guy, look at that wrestling, he's a wrestler, he's been working with this wrestler. He knows a move halfway. That's like saying I go in and I learn an arm bar and I'm a high-level jiu-jitsu guy. It's just not that way. And so what happens is they don't spend time wrestling because wrestling's hard, and they don't have the right people to teach them. So dump that baby, dump it. They end up with bad technique. They end up with bad technique, and they don't pay attention to it. Wrestling is very difficult to pick up, and they don't have people to teach them, so they end up doing poor technique, which leads to bad
hammer fist to the back of the head because they're going after a takedown that they can never achieve.
Right. And what happens is, like I said, a lot of times there is no person that goes and works with a jiu-jitsu guy, learns an escape or a shrimp out or learns to recover guard, and they say, oh, my God, look at this high-level jiu-jitsu. But if one guy does a half of a piece of a single leg, they're like, oh, my God, look at his wrestling's high level. And, a fourth grader has better technique than most of the fighters, and that's just because fourth graders go to practice every single day and do wrestling, just like a young kid that goes to jiu-jitsu every day. But when you get the fighters that don't practice certain arts, they're not taking their craft seriously, it's like a wrestler that doesn't want to strike and they think they're going to only use takedowns to win. Look at it that way as well. If a guy goes out there and learns a 1-2 combination, he's not Mike Tyson.
Well, Tito here thinks he's Mike Tyson,
getting in trouble.
But yeah, that's why with the Bolt Wrestling, I created it as a belt system to, assess wrestling and see what level you are. And when people are working wrestling, they know where they are because wrestling historically hasn't had anything to represent your skill level. You're only assessed based on your active competitions and how you compete at the college and national and world level.
Right.
And people that want to pick wrestling up, they don't know where to learn or what they should be learning. And until, like I said, with Bolt Wrestling, we now have a system in place to assess everybody, and it's picking up and it's, being very well received.
Where can someone go to find Bolt Wrestling?
Right now we're going to boltwrestling.com. We're Bolt Wrestling on Facebook. Hit me up on there, and it's a growing animal at this point. And what we're going to be able to assess everybody's skill in wrestling and find out where they are and where they lack and where they need to pick it up for fighters and non-fighters alike.
You can also check them out on our Facebook page. We have them as we like their page. So if you want to check out Bolt, you can just go onto our page as well and click on it and like their page.
I was watching an interview on HDNet the other day. It was with the Nogueira brothers and Marlos Conan, and Boss Rudin was talking to these guys, and they were talking about their jiu-jitsu and talking about how it's not standing up to the wrestlers, and the guys that come in there with the wrestling are just getting on top of these guys and holding them back. And so, if you are interested in being a fighter, it would probably be a very good idea to get your wrestling skills in order.
Hey,
because that's where the takedowns are coming from.
Hey, Kenny.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you have time to sit on the phone with us?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I got some callers, Jeremy, that have been on the line for a while. I wanted to go to them before it got too late. So if you guys don't mind, let's take some phone calls real quick, and then we'll get back into that part, Jeremy, that you were talking about. Let's go to line number 2, Jeremy and Covina. Jeremy, you were at the event last night. How's it going?
Hey, brother.
Oh, this is the guy that wants to fight Jeremy.
Maybe
this is the guy that's looking for Hulkamania, man.
Dude, Jeremy versus Jeremy?
Yeah.
He's looking for the 24-inch pythons.
What's happening? What's going on?
Jeremy, we have Kenny Johnson, one of Paul Daly's trainers, on the line. Do you have any questions for him?
No, I'm just disappointed as much as he is. It's horrible that Robert was going for Diaz so much. And me personally, I thought Daly had so much to prove getting that belt back, because then he could just throw that in Dana White's face and say, pay me. But you know how that goes. They stopped the fight too quick.
Yeah.
Too quick.
I think it was kind of too quick.
I think it was a little quick, but I'm disappointed. I'm not disappointed because I thought it was a great fight from both people. And of course, I want to see Paul win. But I definitely think that, it exposes some of the things what fighters do. They go out, they fight, they train, they compete. They find out what went wrong, what went right, go back to the drawing board, train, and get after it. I definitely don't think it was something to throw in Dana's face, because I think it was more, it wasn't about Dana, because, I think Dana supports all the fighters and what they're doing. I think it was more, I was more disappointed, not disappointed, I was more, I guess, had empathy for Paul, because he was disappointed that he didn't follow his game plan like he wanted to. But as a coach, I felt he did so many great things, and it's just, sometimes it's the very little thing,
Well, we can't count him out. He's definitely going to make a return, and who knows, man, maybe these guys will rematch here soon.
That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome. All right, Jeremy, thank you for calling in, brother. Did you have a good time last night?
You know, it was good. You know, to a point, like I said, these Diaz brothers, man, somebody's got to deal with these guys. You know?
I think you should deal with them.
I'm trying to deal with you first.
Look, let me tell you something about that scrap pack, okay? Jake Shields next is going to take that belt from St. Pierre. And Jake Shields is going to hold the belt in UFC. Nick Diaz is going to hold the belt. Melendez is going to hold the belt. All three of these guys are going to have belts. And give little Nate some time, man.
You're dreaming, dude.
You, I already wanted to make the bet with you on anything. You know, that's a given. You just can't win a fight against me. You know that already.
Oh, man. Jeremy's talking to you, Jeremy.
I'm down. I'm going to start training with Kenny, and then I'm going to get my wrestling down, and I'm going to introduce you to my 24-inch pythons. I'm bringing Hulkamania with me into that ring that you're talking about.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm bringing America with me.
Yeah.
And these colors don't run, right,
I'm
Tito?
That's
right.
American.
These colors don't run,
hey,
baby.
Hey, guys, let's do that momentum fight August 13th. Let's set it up.
There you go.
We're down.
That's it.
Fight. We got a platform for you guys. Have your amateur fight. Do it under camel rules. And do that momentum fight, and it'll be for a good cause, too.
Awesome.
Hey, it's always up for a good cause. So, I mean, if he's willing to do it, I'm willing to do it. Like I said, it's for something good. It's nothing, you know, I'm going to throw in your face and be like, I told you so.
Yeah, right.
Maybe we could get some 30-ounce boxing gloves and some headgear.
Yeah,
and
something
have
like
a
that.
Celebrity type of fight. We have to call Peter up and see if we can work that out for the Momentum Fights celebrity fight.
That'll be awesome. We'll do that. Jeremy, thank you for calling, brother. Well, maybe we'll have you in the studio someday, and you can meet Jeremy face-to-face.
I don't think he wants to do that.
All right, I got to get to another call, brother.
Lot,
you have a good one, Jeremy.
All right, you too.
All right. Let's go to line number three. Miguel and Gina were there for their first time. It was their actual first time at a Strikeforce event. Was this your first live MMA event, Miguel?
Yeah, actually it was.
And what was the experience like for you?
Oh, man. It's completely different from seeing it on TV. It's just the energy. It was amazing. I loved it.
What did you think about the fights?
Well, what you guys were talking about with the Diaz and the Daly fight, it was really good, but I really do think that they did end it a little bit too soon. I think he could have still, you know, went on fighting a little more.
Well, you're right, because they're, you know, they're fighting for the championship, and both of them should have went. I mean, I think it would have another round, another two rounds. I don't know, man. If they want to stop that fight, Daly could have regained himself. These guys could have battled for five solid rounds. You know, who knows?
Well, there's only a few seconds left in the round, anyway. So if they would have let that few seconds go, then it would have been a whole nother story come round number two.
All right. Miguel, sorry, man. We got to run. We got another phone call that we need to take. We only have a minute left. Thanks for calling in, brother.
All right. No problem. Have a good night.
All right. You know what? Actually, we got less than a minute, Jeremy. So let's close it up. Kenny, man, thank you very much again for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Kenny.
Hey, man, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure with you, brother. Do you got anything that you want to plug?
No, I just want to say thanks for everybody for all the support for my guys, you know, with Paul Daly, BJ Penn, Anderson Silva, Jose Aldo, Blackhouse, everybody, thank you guys for your support with Momentum Fights. It's a really big deal, and our next fight's going to be August 13th, so we'll be on. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on and talk about my guys and Bull Wrestling.
Awesome, man. Thank you. We can't wait for that August event, brother. Thank you very much, Kenny.
Thank you.
Take care, Kenny.
We'll
talk to you soon.
Have a good one. Tito, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, guys. I got to sneak back to the
home.
No,
actually, you don't. I talked to your caretaker. You don't have to sneak back in. We're going to walk you right through the front doors. You're not in trouble this week.
All right. Are you serious?
Yes. And actually, you know what? You're going to get your two hamburgers on Thursday, so don't worry about that. No fighting no more.
Okay.
Jeremy, you got anything you want to add?
We're good to go, man. Thank you all for tuning in. Thanks for calling in. Tune in next week, same time. Check out the website, OctagonUnleashed.com. And we'll see you next week.
Have a good night, everybody. Angels Radio, AMA 30 KLAA, Octagon Unleashed. We are out. We will see you next Sunday. Shane Del Rosario in studio all show long for a full hour. Octagon Unleashed. You guys have a blessed week. Each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this.
I did it my way.
Angels Baseball lives here. Angels Radio.
AM 830.
My dad's Mercedes E-Class has 26,000 miles on it, but I'm taking it to a billion zillion.
Of all the things you hand down to your children, very few will be of the quality of a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Come in during our certified pre-owned sales event and get the Mercedes-Benz you've always wanted. Now, with an optional factory-backed extended limited warranty, your vehicle may be covered for up to 7 years or 135,000 miles, plus roadside assistance and 3 months of Sirius satellite radio. Every certified pre-owned vehicle undergoes rigorous inspections by factory-trained technicians to meet the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And right now, get exceptional 1.99% financing on select models.
Thanks in advance, Dad.
Hurry into the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales event now through May 2nd. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned.